Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's why I did the Charlie Chaplin dance.
That's why you did it.
Yes, and that's what, yeah. So it was hard to begin with, like just leading up to that episode. And then they had this harebrained idea, like the night before, they said, hey, you know what? We know that Eliana's been down. How about you come tomorrow and just get the crowd behind her? And so they,
that's how they put it to you.
Yes. And they said, so what we'd like you to do is to go into the crowd, like in the audience, and hand out, they told me they were like 5x7 cards with her picture on it. And they said, you can hand these out to get them really excited
about her
solo.
Up.
Exactly. Okay. And I was like, okay, great. What parent wouldn't want to go ahead and have the audience, like, you know, behind their child? She's already feeling very defeated and all that. I was like, great. I will definitely do that. So they said, well, you know, and we want you to get into the character as well, too. So do you, like, would you mind, like, dressing up like Charlie Chaplin? I was like, well, I don't want to have a costume. I'm not going to do that.
That's like a black blazer, like a black suit, men's suit.
Right, but
a black bow tie.
But like we,
or remember, no, he wore a regular tie.
Yeah, but I had like my nice dress that I had already packed and everything. I didn't have like black pants and a white shirt. I didn't have that, and they knew that. So because everything was planned, and I had my dress that I had packed because I only packed enough for just like that.
Right.
That day, essentially, okay. Like that night and the next day. So I had my dress packed. So I was like, okay, well, we're near a mall in Scottsdale. So I was like,
Sidebar, that mall in Scottsdale has the most amazing Dillard's you've ever seen. But
isn't it like Fashion Square?
Yes.
Yes. So good. So I was like, well, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? It's late at night. The store closes in 20 minutes. And they said, well, why don't you call Stacy and ask Stacy if Eliana can go ahead and stay with her? And I was like, okay, well, she's a friend. I will go ahead and do that. The girls are friends. So called her up and she's like, that's fine. So I was like, and she's like, but what time are you going to get back? And I was like, well, probably like by the time I walk over there, I'll be gone about an hour. She's like, why don't you just let Eliana spend the night? It was her idea.
She wanted her kid in bed.
Yeah, so she was just like, but she offered for Eliana to spend the
right.
night.
And I was like, how the girls were. They always like
they
that all sleepover stuff. Yes.
Exactly. So I was like, well, this is a win-win situation. Eliana knew it was like a great thing. And so I went to White House Black Market, got a great like pair of tuxedo pants, a white button-down shirt, and then a black blazer. And I thought that's where the costume ended.
Right.
So the next morning, I remember, or that night, I remember getting the call time. And mine was like 2 hours before Eliana's, which I was like, because normally we would show up, obviously have the same call time together.
Because we're all going to get on the bus and get off the bus and parade in.
Right. And also like the mom would always be with their daughter to help warm them up, to make sure that they have breakfast.
To listen to my spiels.
Exactly. To be a mom. And I was like, but where's Eliana? They said, don't worry, she's going to be taken care of. But I was like, why do I have to have an earlier call time? And they said, well, we'll let you know because we just need you to get prepped. I'm like, prepped for what? They're like, well, we're going to be giving you out like the cards and just kind of like let you know what you're going to be doing.
Well, that's 15 minutes, not 2 hours.
Exactly. So I was like, they're like, but don't worry, like Eliana will be fine. She's with Stacy. And it still like seemed very fishy to me and I should have known, but I was still learning the culture. Wasn't
very
really quite
fishy,
sure.
Should have known. Those are words that we've all said.
Yeah. So that's when I went to hair and makeup. And that's when I realized when she said, can you lift your chin? I need to put the mustache on. I was like, What mustache? What are you talking about?
So was it makeup?
No, it was actually hair. It was like almost like
a
mini
tape, like a piece of tape.
No, it was like essentially like a toupee for like my lip.
Well, because for years, I mean, I've done not a lot of times, but you've done the Charlie Chaplin tap dance with the little kids, the recreation, 7 and 8 year olds. They take half an hour tap a week,
yes,
and they would do this, and you just put a piece of black tape here. And they have their little derbies and their little tuxes. And yeah.
No, I mean, it was full on to really make it legit. That's why it was going to be taking so long.
Yes.
And I remember getting really upset and I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I should have absolutely said, no, I'm not going to do it. But there's just a lot of like the whole time there honestly is like a lot of manipulation. So at that point, like
to put it lightly,
and something that happened many, many episodes of all these things where people are like, why did Yolanda do this? Why did she give up her spot? Why did she do this? Why she did this? There's one reason why I did the things that they told me to do and why I did it is because I was told, if you do not do this, then you are going home. And it would be said to me in front of my child who wanted to be there, who would then burst out in tears saying, Mom, just do it. I want to stay. I want to stay.
So you're hearing this live. Well, you're hearing this from Yolanda. Her daughter was on a television show and she wanted to stay. So it wasn't toxic. It wasn't horrific for her as a child.
It was like for me, yes.
It was all of those things. But for a child, she wanted to be with the other kids. She wanted to be with me, I'm assuming.
Yes.
She wanted to stay. Mommy, just do it. I want to stay. When we hear these backstories of all these other kids, a lot of the original cast, that it was so toxic, it was so this, it was so that. All they wanted to do was leave, 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 leave. We didn't have a contract. Leave.
Yeah.
Could have left at any time. And you know that.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I can't speak for anybody else, but for Eliana, she did. Like, this is something she wanted.
She aspired to. She saw it on TV. I want to do that.
Absolutely.
Then you get there, you're staying.
Yeah, she really, really did. I mean, there were opportunities to be able to like that she wouldn't have been able to have if she was still in Boulder, Colorado.
Right.
So she wanted to. So obviously, as a parent, I'm going to do everything I can. I signed up for this. And it was almost like a lot of times she would be like, why are you going to give up? So here this little girl is like telling me, you're giving up. And she was like, then I felt like it was like I was giving up on her and I was giving up on her dream. And I would do anything for her. Like, what parent wouldn't? It's just like,
oh, I know lots of parents that wouldn't. I drove their kids back and forth to New York City to audition for Broadway shows. I know them.
But that's what I did. I mean, I gave up my career. Like, I
as
had
a school
taught
teacher.
I taught for 25 years and I gave it all up because I knew this is what she wanted. And I knew she was good enough to be able to have these opportunities that I couldn't give her, like in Boulder.
Right.
So, yes.
So you get there, you're in the costume, you have the mustache on, you listen to all these Looney Tunes.
And then I started to say, well, I want to be with Eliana right now. And that's when they said, no, I couldn't be with her. And so I was shuffled off and I was like, but wait a second, you told me it was going to happen like right before she goes on stage. I need to be warming her up. I need to make sure she has breakfast. I need all these things to make sure because she's getting ready for like a solo that
yes.
she's already nervous about. She already forgot in rehearsal. Like, everybody's wondering, is she going to be able to do it? She knows it's not technically as good a solo as what Lily had. So she's already has all these deficiencies in her mind. And then she doesn't have her mom with her either. It was absolutely horrible. So then that's when they said, well, you know, we just need you to go ahead and work the crowd a little bit. I'm like, but that's not what you said. So again, if you don't do it,
you're going home. Right. You lose your bonuses. You do this, you do that, all this BS.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going home. So I was like, but I can't. And I knew what Eliana would want me to say and just do it.
Right.
But I couldn't even talk to her. I couldn't.
We're coming off the bus and you're there.
Yes. So that's when they said, well, we need you to like act like Charlie Chaplin. We need you to put on a hat. It was like literally, we're talking Arizona weather. And it was probably like 110 degrees. No joke.
I know.
Even at like 9 o'clock in the morning, I was sweating profusely and like having to do my spiel. and going and working the crowd. And I just remember it was just, it was mortifying. It was so humiliating. Because
and how long did you have to do that?
Nobody got it. Like the people didn't get it.
Right. It was probably about like 30 minutes that I was outside doing it.
Crazy.
Yes.
And they only showed what?
No water.
Like maybe a minute.
Oh yeah, like that. And it's like, I remember having to go up to like fans that were there and they were looking at me like I was a weirdo. And all I wanted to say is, you have no idea. I don't want to be doing this. This
is not my
idea.
Yeah, it wasn't like there was a Marilyn Monroe next to you and a Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara. And there were all these old film stars.
No, I was I was literally by myself. I was just literally by myself. And then I knew when you guys were going to get off the bus and I could just see the moms like looking at me like I was this complete weirdo, a complete freak. I saw Eliana's face and I knew it wasn't that she was embarrassed. She had empathy.
Yeah, she felt bad for you.
And she felt really bad. And she knew that I was doing it for one person and that was her.
Right. And it wasn't like, why, mommy, why would you do that? She knew she was doing it for you. She just knew you were humiliated.
Absolutely. And so I still was not able to be with her. And it was just, it was such a bad situation. I remember when I pulled the hat off, my hair was completely sweaty. And I was like, could somebody like, can I just have like, get to like my bag to have a little bit of makeup to like brush my hair? Like, nope, we need to start filming. We need to be doing this. We need to do that, doing that. And so it's just like, I felt so embarrassed. Like when you go on camera, when you know millions of people are going to see you, you want to look your best.
Yeah. And all the moms always dressed for the weekend.
Absolutely. And so I just had like this ratty shirt that I was sweating and it was just such a horrible situation. And then it was compounded by the fact that she was so stressed out about, she knew the hat was going to come off and she knew that was going to be a big thing if that hat like flew off and she was stressing out. And that's when I was just like the whole zip tie situation. And
when did you just break out a character, tell them off and go to Eliana? Did that ever happen?
No, I was like separated from her until like after she did her solo and then she came in.
To the dressing room.
To the dressing room.
And then you were there with us.
As a viewer, you looked so visibly uncomfortable.
I was.
In the audience and everything. And I think that this for the ALDC elites puts that into perspective a little bit, because if you watch, you look visibly uncomfortable and very upset the entire time and nervous. So this was really because you were actually being physically kept away from your own child while filming a television show.
Absolutely. And here, like, she needed to have somebody, because I was always like, would get her in a mindset like where, because she was doubting herself and I would always give her pep talks and she couldn't have that. So I felt like it was almost like, again, they were setting her up to fail.
Absolutely.
Because then I would like look over and I was being separated from her. But then I knew Stacy was like with Lily, making sure she had breakfast and, you know,
stretching like, her, telling
stretching her,
how great
her like and all of this. And then like Ellie's by herself wondering, is my mom OK? And then having to go through that.
To clarify for all the ALDC elites out there watching this podcast, leave it on the dance floor. Abby Lee Miller had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You dressing up, you showing up, you doing any of that, keeping you outside, keeping you away from your kid. Absolutely not.
Right. Because you weren't briefed on any of that. But the moms were. But here's the situation. The moms were. And what they were told was, Yolanda wants to go ahead and have the limelight. She wants to take the attention off of
Eliana. I was probably told that too.
Yes. And put it on herself. So that's what you need to talk about.
She wants to be the star, forget her kid.
Exactly. And then that's when they started coming down, every single one of them, like, oh my goodness, like, you are not even here for your own child. You're out there instead of like warming your child up, which I was begging to do. You're out dancing
just,
around.
Just played it one against the other.
And every time I would try to like open my mouth, and that's what happened on the show a lot, to defend myself rightfully, then that's when you had like six other moms coming down. And then I just was like myself feeling defeated, and I would just be like, and then I think I would start to cry, and it would be just like a never ending cycle of destruction.
Did you feel like they were jealous of the minis?
I mean, the thing is, I think with the minis, they did come in. They came in with a lot. The minis were strong. They were hand plucked. It was the mom as well, too. But like those minis were good because they had to go through like a lot in those auditions. It wasn't like they all came from one studio.
Oh my God, no.
They were plucked from all over the United States.
They came themselves. They flew there. Well, right. I didn't they go around the country looking for them. They were there. They were the best of the best. We kept them. I enjoyed working with them.
Yes.
I remember teaching Lily a solo in the waiting room on the red carpet out in front because they wouldn't even let me in the studio.
Absolutely.
Or they wanted her to not have any time. And my classes were already starting for the day at the studio. And I had to finish her dance in the hallway.
I remember that. And they like picked it up. And I will say, I mean, like, there was like the whole like Lily versus Ellie, Ellie versus Lily. Those little girls were damn good. I mean, I look at dancers now and I'm like, wow, they had both of them. They really honestly
they had the feet,
did.
They had the lines. They had the flexibility. But
they
that's
really
why
did.
The older moms were freaking out.
Yes, I mean, it's just like...
Nobody understands that. Oh, I brought in the minis because I like them better. Why? And the moms, they just didn't want them there because they took up time. Bullshit. They didn't want them there because they were amazing.
They knew they were good. I remember the very first day that Eliana came in and she was so complimentary to the moms, to the OGs.
She was so excited to be there.
And she was very respectful. Like, she wasn't coming in there saying, I'm trying to take over. She didn't. Obviously, I shot my mouth off when, you know, I had a couple shots of whiskey and everything, but I had no idea because what I was going to tell you is they took those clips of what I was saying is she's better than this and she's better than this person. She's better than, and then they showed all the OG moms. So before I came on set, so they literally hated me.
I didn't know that
from the very, very beginning because they were shown all of that. Yeah. There's like, actually like when Jess came up to me and she shook my hand, like then the camera turned and she went like this after she shook my hand.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
I was literally filth from the very beginning. From the very, very beginning.
I didn't know that.
And as a result, and that was like, I think was really frustrating because I never heard. They can say they did, but you show me any of the footage, the hours of footage, they never said one nice thing about Eliana. I don't give a shit about whether they were like liked me or didn't. I mean, yes, I wanted to have friends and I wanted to be liked, but I was like, this is about my child. And not one time, because I really was like, can they just validate that she is a great little dancer? Just say like,
nope.
she has beautiful feet, which she did. She has beautiful lines, not one thing. So there was an episode where they were literally calling me and Dr. Holly was literally saying, you are crazy. You are literally crazy. And the reason she said that is because I called her out and I said, including you, you have never said one nice thing about my child. And I swear on my mother's grave, they never, ever did.
No. Well,
and then I was called crazy for like
I said nice things about your kid.
You did. No, I mean, you said like even after like that for that private lesson, mm-hmm. you wanted her on the show.
Oh, I did. And what about when I had to pick what minis were staying?
That was horrible.
That was thrown on me at the last minute.
Well, you left. Like you literally could not do it.
I could not do it. And I left and I had a ride come get me. And whisk me out of there.
And that's
I was
the thing that was
freaked out.
Well, because that was real. Like all the OGs, they knew they were fine, but the minis, they did not know. Like I remember them. These little girls. You're
I had
talking
to pick two, right?
Seven, two. Yeah, you had to pick two.
And I picked Eliana and Lily.
And Lily, yes. And they did not know. And I remember they stood there, and I don't know how. And you didn't do it. You literally left. But they stood there like a lineup, like they were going to be executed.
That's how it felt to me. That I was going to execute a child on television.
And you're talking 7 to 9 year olds.
No reason.
And here the thing is, they were great. They loved getting feedback.
They were cute. They were there.
And don't forget how much training they would do. Because after filming all day long, those little girls
were in every class.
They were in every single class from about 3 o'clock until 10. Then we drove them back to the hotel. We were not in fancy apartments. We were in the hotel. Drove back to the hotel, and then the second level of the DoubleTree in the Culver City, they would rehearse Like, we would have them rehearsing until 11:30 midnight.
The
going
number.
Over the numbers.
So they knew it.
Yes. Yeah. So
and they won. I mean, they won. They yeah, were they, beautiful.
They honestly were.
And think if they would have all been together for the next 3 years.
It would have been
they would
like,
have provided more longevity to the show. You would have been at like season 13 by now.
Yeah, or yes, because like, yeah, they would have been 13, 14, 15. And the world would have fallen in love with them instead of I always felt on the show originally. My thought was once you turn 14, you're off the show.
Yeah.
You turn 14, you're off and a new one comes in. Just like at a dance studio. You're in the junior company. You get 13, you can squeak still by in the group because everybody else is 11 to 12. You yes. turn 14, you go to the teen company or the senior company, whatever your studio has, and a new kid comes up.
But here's the thing. They were not given the same opportunities. And I think that's what was so frustrating. We knew, I mean, it's like we understood that like we have our place. I totally get that. And I totally respect and understand like the OG moms. Like they really did. Like they paved a lot of the way, but our kids also had their path as well too. And there were a lot of opportunities they were not granted. I'll never forget when you took the girls like Alexis and Eliana to the Kids' Choice Awards. They weren't invited to that. Whereas all the rest of the OGs were invited to that. They were part of the show. They were part of Dance Moms.
And they were pissed that those little kids were with me.
Absolutely.
So angry. And it's like, what does it have to do with you? It's not taking away from your child, these two little kids.
It wasn't.
I wanted them all to go.
And we weren't trying to take, like our little girls there, two little girls were not trying to take away from them. But they were part, whether they liked it or not, they were part of the show. They were part of Dance Moms.
And then later on, I took Ellie and Lily to something in Hollywood, some event.
Reality TV Awards.
Yeah, I took them to somewhere.
They spoke so well.
Because they're these tiny little girls. They're dressed right. They have the right shoes on. Their mothers listen and do what I say. And
they were little ladies. They were so sweet.
And those kids didn't even look at them.
Yes.
Like acted like they were dirt. And because they were jealous.
And it hurt because these little girls really looked up to them.
That's, you hit it. They were their role models.
They wanted to learn from them, instead of hugging them
and being cute and sweet with them, they just dismissed them.
Yes. And I'm not going to say like there are some things that would not be like appropriate. Like it's like they were older, like, you know, Kalani, who was what, 15, 16, like hanging out with like an 8-year-old. I totally get that. I'm not saying hanging out, but
they come off the stage and you want to grab them and hug them and say, oh my God, that was so good. That's what you do at your studio with the little ones. But instead it was this evil stare that, cause they knew they were good.
They did have some moments, like obviously, you know, there are some moments obviously shown on the show where the minis will come off stage and the older girls will hug them or give them a high five. You know,
just like the baseline thing.
But the overall, you know, role model, like, you know, this is the new generation. Let's celebrate them. That energy wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
We were here first. You're only here because of us. That's
right. And I mean, it's very hard because it was like we were told, like, you know, obviously it was always the fight to get the minis to like work with like the OGs. And I mean, it's like I knew that they didn't want to have like little ones in the piece and everything. But like I would always say is there are certain elements that they could do because they could definitely handle the choreography. And
I begged for that whole year to do a dance that I had done that won. It was called the Babysitter's Club. And it had two older ones and two little ones. And it was absolutely gorgeous and stunning. It was pink and lilac. And it was great. And I had done that number like maybe in 1989. And then again in like 1999. It would win. And now I'm going to do it again on the show.
Remember how you fought to have like a contemporary ballet, or it might have been like a point piece. I remember you really wanted them because their strong suit was ballet, especially when it was like just Lily and Ellie who both of them went on to YGP and they both won the Hope Award. I mean, you don't win.
Why would you not? For the listeners who don't know what that is,
YGP is like the biggest international ballet competition that you can do. And the Hope Award is over first place.
It's showing that this child, it has what it takes
it's
to go on.
It's exceptional in classical ballet as well as contemporary. And both Lily and Ellie.
Why didn't we show that on the show? Why didn't we have a point number? Because the general public too that are not dance people that are watching the show, they see those little kids in pointe shoes. They're like, you know how people are, like, yes. regular average Joe. It sees the kid, the feet in the pointe shoes, and is like, oh my God, oh my God.
Right. But they were strong enough to be able to be there. But it's just, there could have been a little bit more. And there were also other opportunities that were afforded, even though they were on the show. Like, I know that they would take every Thursday when the girls were in school, but the OGs were also in school as well, too. But they would take them to do outings that our girls would see them going to. Like, they got to go and they were doing, like, martial arts, and they would get to do all these separate outings and separate filming, like, different things that they were filming that would go into the show. And if they didn't want, like, you know, like the younger ones to be part of it, that's fine. But then why weren't they afforded? Why weren't, like, the minis afforded? Hey, let's, you know, because they had, they
let's
had
go get ice
well
cream.
Too. Exactly. Let's go to
beach.
Disneyland. Let's film them doing that. Like, yeah. That's totally fine. But they didn't have the same opportunity that was afforded. And I just feel like if you were on the show, then you should have had the same sort of, like, opportunities, because you're just part of the show. It doesn't matter when you came in.
Attention to all my ALDC elites in Europe. I am going on tour this summer. That's right. You can finally meet me in your country. I will be teaching class for my worldwide dancers and answering all your questions at my Abby Lee Spills the Tea events. These events are for non-dancers out there who are fans of Dance Moms, Abby's Ultimate Dance Competition, and Leave It on the Dance Floor. First stop is Bucharest on the 23rd of June. Then, the 8th of July, I will be in Glasgow. Then over to Edinburgh on the 10th of July. Liverpool on the 12th of July. Then I'm back in London on the 18th of July. Head over to www.abbyleeontour.com. Get your tickets quickly as space is limited. Again, that's www.abbyleeontour.com. I can't wait to see all of you. That's the best part of my job, getting to meet you kids from all across the globe, reminding me why I do what I do. And I am so very grateful for each and every one of you. Here we go.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I'm curious, You went through a lot, obviously, with production, and everybody was very, you know, toxic towards you and the kids. Unfortunately, you did suffer some physical altercations that did happen on the show. What went through your mind when you were in that position the first time with Stacey, and what was the environment like after?
Well,
I'm gonna let you take this.
I know this, and because you weren't there, you were off in Mexico trying to find Kevin.
I was.
Yes, to get your
27
to get
grand.
Your, to 27 grand. So with that altercation, here's the situation. Like, there was so much that was taken out of context. Eliano's best friend in kindergarten was a young man who identified as a girl. And so the two of them, like, Ellie was never, like, she was always, like, dancing, obviously, and cheering. And so she only went to school for about, like, 3 hours during the day. And so this young man, like, and Eliana, they just identified with each other. They just, like, would walk around the playground because nobody else seemed to understand them.
Okay.
And so when that piece came up, obviously, like, my job was always to say, like, my child needs to be in the piece. That was what we were always told.
Right,
like, she
right.
needs to be in it. But this
pushing.
Exactly. But this time I had, like, an actual reason, because they said it's not appropriate because she does not understand, because that piece happened to be that week with Lori and Gibson. It happened to be about being a trans. So being
transgender.
Yeah, okay. Being transgender. And so they said, Eliana doesn't understand that the minis are too young. And I was like, actually, au contraire, she does understand.
Did you say au contraire to Tessa? You used that term. That is hilarious. Go ahead.
I don't remember what I used at that point. But I did. I said, no, she actually does have an understanding. And that's when I explained to the producers and they said, well, she needs to talk to Lorianne and be able to tell her. So that's when I said to Eliana, and this is where it was blown out of proportion, is I said, well, obviously tell your story. You know what your story is. But what she was very concerned about is her friend, because we had not spoken to her friend. And I didn't know if her friend wanted us to speak it to a national an international audience without permission. And so she didn't know how much to say. So that's where I said, just tell them your story. And she said to me, I don't know how much I can actually say. And that's when she's like, tell me what I can say.
She didn't have to say the person's name. She could have just said, I'm the kid I go to school with.
But we're talking like an 8-year-old here.
Yeah.
So, true. I mean, and so she just said, Mom, tell me what to say. And I said to her, just tell your story, but don't use his name. In the meantime, right. I contacted his mom and she said, it's totally fine. But none of that was aired. So what Stacey had heard was the last piece just saying, Mom, tell me what to say. But the whole story wasn't just that. It was just tell me what to say as far as, can I say like my friend's name?
Right.
But that
like,
was,
Mom,
that
tell
was never
me what I'm allowed to say. She already knew the story.
Exactly. Right. So that became the big thing then is, wow, I should tell my child to go ahead because, Eliana was put in the number because of it. She had the, and Lori was like, I love your story. But then it came down to, well, Yolanda's lying about this. I was not lying. Like, that was my child's story. I just said to her, like, I don't, you know, when she said, Mom, tell me what to say, it was, we didn't know whether we could say her friend's name or not.
Right. Okay. So she got in the number.
And
jealousy prevails. And Stacey was jealous that your kid got in the number. Her kid's not.
So she called me a liar, which I wasn't a liar. And that's when the whole thing like just exploded. And names were called, which I felt very strongly what she was saying is what I called her. And because I was like, you're not even like listening to what I'm saying right now. And I never could say what I wanted to say. I remember she had this comeback that's even like everybody knows which comeback it is. I have to admit, it was good. It was like I can look back at it now. It's funny. She started to go in. She tried to diagnose me saying that I had multiple personalities. And then she said, you're bitch one, bitch two, bitch three. And I remember when she said that, like every single mom burst out laughing. And not only the moms, but I could see the producers and all the film crew, like everybody out in the open. They were literally on the floor, like doubled over laughing. And that's horrible. I was just like in another zone. I took that one hard. I really, really did, because I think there's one thing to be called names, but I think a form of severe bullying is when people laugh at you. And they weren't laughing with me.
You got it. No, they weren't.
They were laughing at me. And at that point, I was like, I have to remove myself. So that's when you saw me like take my bags.
Yep.
And Ellie was supposed to go to a photo shoot that afternoon with my friend from the Rock Squad. And they had said I could leave early anyhow. But I was like, I'm leaving 30 minutes early at this point because I literally cannot be around these women, because not one person could say, wait a second. Like,
that was rude. Don't say that to somebody. It's a woman.
Yeah. Right. And just not only like everybody that was there, the cast, but also the crew. And I
went through that quite a few times.
Yeah. It was the absolutely worst feeling. And I just wanted to leave. I literally wanted to leave. And I wasn't going to like leave the show. But I was like, we're leaving early.
Right.
And so that's when So that's when I went into the dressing room where Ellie was. And for a couple of months leading up to that, based off of like another like another time when, do you remember when the two girls did the duet? It was beautiful again. It was about like ocean. It was like an ocean like duet that Lily and Ellie
did. Was it blue or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there was another like disagreement between Stacey and I. And at that point, then she wasn't talking to me. I wasn't talking to her. But then what happened is Lily and Macy buddied up. And for a couple months leading up to this whole situation, they did exclude Eliana.
Oh, so, honey, three's a crowd. I know. When I take assistance, I have three kids in Europe. I know.
Yeah. And
two's
I'm not,
company, three's a crowd. They're going to buddy and leave the other one out. It happens all the time.
It's
a girl's thing.
Yeah, it is. And it's not like I'm just stating facts. I'm right. literally stating facts because our apartments were across from each other. We were actually in apartments at this time. Ellie could hear the slime parties. She could hear the sleepovers. She could see the luncheons. She could see the content
so
being filmed.
Hurtful.
We could hear it happening because we literally shared a wall.
Yeah.
And that's
hurtful too.
When you're 8 years old, and remember, she didn't have, like, she was living in another state. There were no other friends. She couldn't be friends with the older girls. They didn't want her to be friends with them because of their age and all of that. And then the only two other, like, minis there was just Macy and Lily. And she felt completely alone. So at that point, when I walked in the dressing room, sure enough, here's Eliana sitting over here doing her school. Here's Lily and Macy. And I just, like, everything again, I was just, as a parent and as, like, a mama bear, I was like, enough. Like, enough. Like,
yeah, I'm out. Got,
exactly.
Right.
I'm done with this whole situation because my child is really, really sad. Like, this is really difficult on her. So that's when I quietly, you can see it from the cameras.
And this was supposed to be a great thing, and we're so happy to be here, and blah, 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 and then it's turning into this. Yes.
Yes.
Millions of kids go to bed hungry each night in the U.S. So when I found out about a nonprofit that feeds 5,000 underserved children each night named Katerina's Club, headed by Chef Bruno Serrato, I knew I had to help. After all, who knows kids better than me? He launched Katerina's Club when he found out about California's motel kids. These children are so poor that their entire families live in single-room motels with no kitchens, nowhere to cook, no dinner. So food was a rarity for many of these families. He has been feeding kids, 5,000 kids, every single night since 2005. He even mortgaged his home twice to keep the program going. When his restaurant, Anaheim White House, burned to the ground, he found another kitchen that same day to keep feeding kids without interruption. He has served well over 10 million meals. We are looking for any size donations. After all, a $5 donation feeds a family of four. While food banks are helping ease the crisis, many of these children, often referred to as motel kids, live in cheap, crime-ridden units that do not contain kitchens. Since these families are unable to cook dinner, they depend on already prepared meals like those provided by Katerina's Club. To become involved and make a donation, go to katerinasclub.org/donate. Again, that's katerinasclub.org/donate.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It was just like, you know what? It was bullying. Like, it had been gone on for a while. Like, Nobody's perfect, including my child. But at that point, it had
Macy
gone on.
Macy probably wasn't the ringleader in that, too.
I'm not going to say who was the ringleader. I really don't know. But the fact is, it was occurring.
Yes.
And parents allowed it to happen and it wasn't being stopped. So at that point, that's when, yes, I said, and I never, ever raised my voice. I just politely said to Eliana, get your bag. We're leaving. I was direct to her, didn't raise my voice. And that's when I looked over and I said both to Macy and Lily, I said, you know what, this exclusion has got to stop. I can't remember the exact words verbatim, but I said it's bullying and I remember when Macy first came on, she felt like she was excluded. And that's when I said to her, it's hard to hear, but I did say to her, you should know how this feels.
Okay.
And so I was very appropriate, but I just said, this is bullying. Like, this has gone on. And what the audience didn't know is how long it had been occurring. They didn't know. They saw Lily jump up right away and she's like, okay, I'll go over here. But the damage had been done. All the play dates and the slime parties and all that
right.
that she had seen for 2 months, that had like they
taken a toll.
It had already taken a toll.
Right. So you get her. She gets her stuff.
No, here's the thing. Eliana would not come with me.
Oh.
Because again, she's the kind of child that she wants to be accepted. Like she wanted to have friends.
Right.
So if she would have come along with me, then she would have been telling them who she just wanted to be friends with.
I don't want you.
Yeah, you're in the wrong.
Right.
So she didn't want any drama. So that's when she said, Mom, just stop. And I was like, she's not even going to come with me. So she refused to come. She's at this
Your
point,
own kid.
Like,
now
real,
you look like an ass.
I do. And she has real tears at this point. It is so traumatic for her. And I just physically, Abby, I just had to get out of there because I was just done with so much. I was done with the moms. I was done with like having her friends not treat her like a good friend. I was just
And now
done
here's
with
her best friend being her mom.
Yes.
Her best friend being you.
Yes.
Saying, come on, we're going. And now she's even segregating herself from you and
yes.
saying, no, mom, no, you go.
Absolutely.
So here's the kid you're doing this all for. Doesn't even want to go with you.
Yeah.
So now 100%. You're devastated.
Yeah, I absolutely was. And so you can see me. I just grabbed the bags and I was so distraught and I just quietly walked out. That's when Lily went straight to her mom and said, she's yelling at me. She's calling me a bully, which, yes, I said both of them were bullied. They were like had bullying behavior. Yes.
Right.
But she said, she's yelling me. Stacy says, Yolanda. Lily says, yes. Stacy jumps up and says, I'm going to kill someone.
Right.
So she comes outside. She was not coming outside to go and have a big kumbaya.
No. Oh,
so,
no. She
like,
had lost her mind.
So meanwhile, I was outside in the alley with the producer at that point, Scott, and I was saying to him, get my keys and get my child. I am leaving right now.
Right.
Because remember, like something that a lot of people don't know is our car keys were taken in the beginning of like when we would arrive on set.
Car keys are taken.
Car key. Where
so
car
you can't
keys
just jump in your car and leave.
So we couldn't just leave. I could take the mic off and throw that down, which I did, but I couldn't leave. So that's why I was like literally at him saying, give me my car keys. We're leaving now. Go get my child.
Right.
And we're leaving right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was removing myself from the situation. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't yell at anybody. I didn't come back and say anything rude to the parents. I didn't say that I was going to kill somebody.
Right.
I didn't,
come into Studio A and go, Abby, I'm out.
Right. I didn't diagnose right. somebody on like TV. I literally just quietly said to my child, it's time to go.
Right. So Stacy comes out.
So she comes out. Obviously she doesn't have like a nice looking like face at that point. She's like, her
High
eyes
rate.
Are like red.
Right.
She's furious. She comes lunging at me. What am I going to do? I'm going to just sit there and be like, oh, like, let me go ahead. I
attack
had no idea.
Me, throw
she
me against
lunged
the
at
wall.
Me. So, you know what? I pushed her and I pushed her back and I pushed her back hard. But when you push somebody, you go out. I'm not going to go like within a second that it happened. I'm not going to like go down to her knees or I'm not going to go up to like past her head. I'm going to go straight out. Where am I going to go straight out? It's going to go straight towards like I was pushing her back like from her
Get away from
shoulders.
Me.
Exactly. And then that's when she claimed I choked her, and that has become all over that I literally choked her. No. When you choke somebody, you literally put your hands around their neck.
Yeah.
You squeeze, you prevent their esophagus from like having air. Did not do that. If you look at everything, and yes, you can like look at it in slow motion, I pushed her back. Scott saw it. The bodyguards that were there, they saw it. And then right away, she started screaming. Now, something that people don't know is that both she and Lily have this condition where when you have a lot of anxiety, you get your whole chest up to your neck gets flushed. Well, obviously, that was a high anxiety moment
you
for
mean
her.
Like pink, red,
flushed. Pink and red.
Okay.
Exactly. So that's what happened to her. And that's when she claimed that her chest was red because I put marks on her.
Wow.
And for God's sakes, it's all just
so
sad.
At that point, that's when she was saying, you know, call the police, call the police. the head executive producer, Brian Stinson, was called. They reviewed the tapes and they decided that she was the attacker. She came at me.
Yes.
There was nothing that, like, actually, like, if they would have called the police, I could have pressed charges because she's the one who came at me first.
Or in my case, the way it happened is the city of Los Angeles could have pressed charges against her.
Yes.
Because in my case,
also, you could have had defamation. Absolutely. Too, from the whole diagnosis thing, right?
Yes,
absolutely. And from what I heard, I don't know this, but it's just from what I heard, because she had a license, that she lost her license because so many people in the mental health community, when that episode came out, was like
horrified.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Don't do that. Like, I never hired her to be a therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So she had no right to diagnose me based off of her hyperbole.
Well, there you go. Good riddance, Stacey.
But, you know, it's interesting because a learning experience to it is that, like, Eliana now, you know, we've talked about it and she's like, you know, it's just I wanted to be accepted. I didn't want to create drama. But she's like, Mom, I really should have just
went with you.
I should have been right there.
Yeah.
But, you know,
kids learn.
She's a child. So
Well, now she's not. She's a lovely young lady.
Thank you.
So you've done a great job.
Thank you.
And I hope I had a hand in it.
You absolutely did. In fact, the other day we were at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yes.
For my birthday.
Oh, and, exciting.
Yes. And it was just like great because we were sitting there and I said, you know,
Abby would be at the restaurant.
We were in the Polo Lounge. Yes.
I know.
Yeah. Because at first when we got, like, valet took our car, they're like, well, you can go to the pool and have, like, burgers and fries. And I was like, no. And they said, well, fine dining happens at the Polo Lounge. And yes. I looked at Eliana and I said, Abby would want us going to the Polo Lounge. Yeah.
So I know I said, when I die, I want the wake to be there at the Polo Lounge.
Oh, my goodness. I can see that. But she remembered, and she, like, her manner, she was impeccable because you always said, if you have a business luncheon, they're looking at how your manners,
what fork you use,
where you're going to put your knife with your bread, how you're going to, like, have, like, a small slice of bread and not just put a whole chunk of bread into your mouth. And she sat there, like, the straight back. Her back was not touching the back of the chair the entire
time. That's my girl.
Time. Yes.
See, people don't understand those things. But Yolanda, when I first met you, and I say this all the time, Yolanda can talk about fabric. She can talk about fashion. She can talk about travel. She can talk about education. She can talk about grammar and English. She can do it all. And I've said that many times.
You have.
Yes.
But it was a learning experience. We learned a lot. I even learned a lot from you. Like, just now, I was like, I've got to swallow that gum. I can't be having that gum. But, like, it's small lessons that she will carry with her throughout the rest of her life.
Don't you think, as a teacher and educator, that many other children on the show also learn those lessons?
100%.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
How do they go on day after day?
Yes.
Knowing the part I played in their lives and just ignoring it
Absolutely.
Or hating it.
Yes.
Scary.
Yes. It's 100%. And they learn by people around you. And like, you know, the number one question that whenever people, like, ask
Say
me about
you're
the show,
was she really that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, well, the thing is, you have to understand, like, she did her job well. She knew what she had to do, but the life lessons, if she would have advocated, because the producers weren't calling us. You're the one who said, I want you on the show. I know you spoke to them.
Yes,
now,
absolutely.
I know I pulled, like, some strings and I killed my Skype interview, but, like, it really comes back. And I mean, it's not to say there were some times that you made me mad. Like, you really, really did. And it's just, like, some things I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand when you called Eliana, like, evil and everything. But it's like, but I also know now, like, looking at the conditions that you were under.
Yes.
Never having, like, your private space. In fact, I have to bring this up before we close because this is hilarious. Like, if you would ask me what is the most, like, embarrassing time, you may not remember this, but things like that puts you over the edge, like, it's just astronomical. There was a time where I was told, like, I think you needed to be on set. And for whatever reason, you were not on set. So they wanted me to go and get you.
Mm-hmm.
And go into your private, you know, your back office.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is, like, your private area. I couldn't imagine if, like, in my home, I'm, like, getting out of bed and, you know, or just, like, you know,
in the bathroom or whatever.
If I was just, like, getting out, I'm just, like, in my private home, in my private space, which your office was your private space. It's like where you would dress, where you would have your makeup done. It's
jewelry, your everything.
Yeah, all of it. That there should be like off limits. And
oh, there was.
I didn't.
In my contract. That's why my attorney was usually sitting in there.
But yes. You didn't. But there weren't off limits.
No.
And I was told to go in there.
Respect those limits.
Absolutely. And I was told to go in there with a camera behind me, coming, following me in there. And I'll never forget this because it's funny and it was embarrassing. But I went in there and you were in your back dressing area. And I went in there and I went over it because you were very distraught over something. It was. As we all are. We all right. have our times where we're yeah. distraught, we're sad, we're crying. That's human nature. That is normal.
Yes, absolutely.
But usually, like, when what's not normal is to have a camera, like, in your space when you're not even working. Like, it wasn't even, like, a working time. Because obviously part of the show, like, they want to see tears. But yes. that was before, like,
we even
your call
set.
Time.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And so I had to go in there with a camera behind me to your private space. And you were distraught and they wanted me specifically to like nail you when you were at your lowest, like you were okay. really sad about something. And I wasn't privy to that. It wasn't any of my business. But I remember going in there and I went to go put my arm around you and you turned really fast and you said, "I'm not a lesbian." And I remember yelling at you. I'm like, "Well, I have a husband and I'm not either. I'm just in here to support you."
I do not
We're
remember
all allies
that.
Here. We're all allies here.
That was hilarious. I don't remember that. All right, listen. We have to. We could go on for hours and hours and hours talking to Yolanda Walmsley, Eliana's mom.
You have to
mom.
Come back and talk about season 8 because yes. we have some fan questions about season 8. So
fan
you got to come back.
So season 8,
Yolanda will be back to answer all your fan questions next time. Thank you so much for joining us here on Leave It on the Dance Floor. Okay. Until next time, dance it up. Get out there, dance. ALDC Elites, thank you so very much for listening. Be sure to subscribe and give Leave It on the Dance Floor a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to watch each week and see exclusive behind-the-scenes content like my never-seen-before pictures and videos from the competitions, some even taken from the wings, classes at the ALDC studio in Pittsburgh, or even our iconic dance concerts, head over to Patreon or become a member on YouTube Premium, linked in the show notes each week. See you on the flip side.
A Huda Media Production.